Today is truly a day of celebration and thanksgiving because it's World Communion Sunday, and literally tens of thousands of Christians all over the world joined together today in one accord to celebrate with thanksgiving Holy Communion. And what we are as we come together, I like to think of it sort of as a reenactment of the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, when He gathered together. Because we are in reality disciples coming to the Lord's table. We celebrate with thanksgiving as the disciples did with Jesus. And we also remember now, after the resurrection, the perfect sacrifice that was made for our sins. We come to our text today from the Gospel of John. We find John the Baptist baptizing in the Jordan River. And John the Apostle presents his gospel in such a way that makes a case for and presents Jesus as the true Son of God. And he tells the story about John the Baptist because John the Baptist was believed by many at that time to be the Messiah. So it tells us this is John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent the priest and the Levite to ask him who he was. It says he didn't fail to confess, but he confessed freely, I'm not the Christ, okay? I am not the Christ. So they said to him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? Because it was believed or prophesied that Elijah would come first and then the Messiah. He said, no, I'm not Elijah. And they said, are you the prophet? Because prophecy had foretold that God would raise up a prophet for his people. And he said, no, I'm not the prophet either that you're looking for. Finally, they said, well, who are you? Give us an answer to take back for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And John just replied, using Isaiah's prophecy, I'm the voice of one calling in the desert to make straight the way of the Lord. Some of the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him and said, why do you baptize then if you're not Christ, if you're not Elijah, if you're not the prophet? Why do you baptize? And he said, I baptize with water. Sort of a ritual of cleansing for the people, identifying them with this new teaching that the kingdom of God was at hand, in fact, coming soon. He said, I baptize with water, but among you stands one that you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. And it tells us this happened to Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. And the next day, John was back in his work again, baptizing people in the Jordan River. And as he was there, he saw Jesus coming toward him. Now, up until this time, Jesus had not really made his way in the public limelight, so to speak. His ministry had not been ordained by God in the giving of the Holy Spirit yet. But Jesus came to the Jordan. And John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, look. He said to the people, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said a man comes after me and has surpassed me because he was before me. It's a great statement that John the Baptist makes, and there's a lot of deep biblical doctrine in this statement, and I really love this because I could preach for a year just simply on this statement, on what it means, what it meant to them, and what it means to us today. Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. What did it mean to those people that stood there, those Jews standing around John the Baptist when he proclaimed, there he is, look, the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. First, in proclaiming that Jesus was a Lamb, would have had a profound meaning for the Jew. Right away, their mind would have gone back to the Passover. Many times we think about the Passover lamb. Do you remember what happened at the Passover? God told the people to kill a male lamb without defect, a perfect one, and take the blood from it and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of their doors into their homes. And as the angel of death would come through Egypt, the angel of death would pass over their homes and they would not lose their firstborn. So the angel of death would pass over them. So to many of them, in hearing John proclaim, look, the lamb, they would have thought a sacrificial lamb. Okay? For others, they would have thought of the prophecy in Isaiah, where it tells us about the prophecy of becoming Messiah, the Savior, that He took our infirmities and carried our sorrow, and we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. Prophecy in Isaiah says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He didn't open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is silent, so He did not open His mouth. So for the average Jew that would have been there, their mind would have gone right through that. That in proclaiming Jesus to be a lamb, to them would have meant, look, here is a sacrifice. Here is the one to bear our iniquities and our transgressions. In going on with this statement, a Lamb of God, again, would have been shocking or profound to the Jews, because speaking of a Lamb of God would have meant that this Lamb was provided by God, that He was God's own provision. Think about that for a little bit. Look, here is the Lamb of God, the Lamb provided by God. They held God as so holy that they would not even speak His name, Yahweh, because they were afraid that they would mispronounce His name and so dishonor God. So for him to say the Lamb of God probably took the breath away from a lot of people that were standing there. Because here was the sacrifice provided by God Himself, is what John was saying. Let's go on. There's even more to it than that. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not the Lamb of God that takes away. Jesus is not a thing. He's not an animal. He's not a thing that God provided to take away the sin of the world. He is a person. The Lamb of God is a who. The sacrificial lamb provided by God is a who, and He is Jesus Christ. And what does He do? He takes away the sin of the world. Now, to a people who grew up in a society or in a situation where to have sin removed, there had to be a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice. There had to be the shedding of blood, an atonement, so to speak. That's what we call it. So for them, for John to say, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice provided by God who takes away the sin of the world, would have really shocked them, because how could this be that this man, this Jesus who was right there in front of them, this who provided by God, how in the world could he be a perfect lamb without blemish that would be sacrificed, shedding his blood for us? First of all, we have to remember, sin brings death. Sin brought death. That's what the Bible teaches us. What is sin? Sin is law-breaking. That's all there is to it. Sin is law-breaking. When we break God's law, we sin. And the penalty is death. But how was Jesus going to take away that punishment of death? First of all, the Holy Spirit came upon or overshadowed Mary, remember. The sin of Adam, the original sin that was passed down through mankind, humankind, even to this day to you and I, came through the seed of man. So if Jesus was going to be a perfect, spotless lamb, man wouldn't have to have anything to do with it. So the Holy Spirit came upon her, overshadowed Mary. Literally, she was divinely impregnated. It was by divine conception. Now, I do not want you to get that confused with the immaculate conception that some churches teach. It's not the same thing. This was a divine conception by the Holy Spirit working in the body of Mary to place the Lamb of God in her womb. And by that means of the Holy Spirit, Jesus would be born spotless without blemish. because the seed of man had nothing to do with his birth. It was the true seed of God that conceived him, brought him about. Secondly, how was he going to take away the punishment of death if the way to go about that is through the shedding of blood? He would be slain so that the angel of death would pass over all who would have his blood on their heart, accepting him as their sacrifice once and for all. And he was the sacrificial lamb who would take away the punishment for breaking God's law. That's what John was saying. Look, the sacrificial lamb that God has provided that would take away the punishment for breaking God's laws. What do we call that? We call that atonement. We call that atonement. How was Christ going to provide, be that atonement for you and I? Because he was spotless and blameless. Provided by God, he was divine. He was divine. And in that atonement, scholars and people who like to study the Bible and myself sit back and we think, well, what did the atonement accomplish? Because the wages of sin is death. In other words, if we sin, we have God's wrath upon us. Does the atonement only accomplish the payment for our sin? But then we're still dirty because we've sinned. Or does it cleanse us and take that sin away as far as the east is from the west? And the answer is it does both. And that's what's so wonderful about the atoning power and the work of Christ on the cross. It's twofold. The words we use are expiation and propitiation. The propitiation is the payment to God for our sin, okay, fulfilling his wrath. And the expiation is the removal of the sin, cleansing us, removing our sins as far as the east is from the west. But the name, the Lamb of God, would have been a serious and shocking name to these Jews. Okay, it was a couple thousand years ago. What does it mean to us today? What does it mean to you and I? Sadly, it's lost its meaning today in our society. The Lamb of God. The philosophy of our world teaches we don't need a sacrifice. We can do it ourselves. I'm a good person. I go to Sunday school. I serve in many ways. I do this, I do that. I treat everybody really good. I haven't said any bad words this week. I don't really need a sacrifice. But the truth is we do. Because we're all sinners by birth. The philosophy of our world also teaches that we don't need an atonement. We don't need a payment for our sins. We can pay God in many ways. We can pay him right there in the collection plate. We can say thanks in prayer. We say, oh, God understands me. I'm a human being. God understands why I did what I did. I want to ask you something. When you stand in a court of law, maybe you've gotten a ticket for speeding or whatever it is, you stand in a court of law before the judge, what's that judge going to say? You're guilty because you've broken a law. You're going to stand there and say, he'll understand. He knows I'm human. He knows I went through that stop sign because I was looking at that pretty girl that was there on the sidewalk, right? He'll understand. God understands. But we don't. That's the problem. His word says the wages of sin is death. His word says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. His word says all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags, that we shrivel up like a leaf. And like the wind, our sins sweep us away. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty ashamed and pretty dirty. But yet, you see, God has provided a perfect sacrifice for us. And that's the good news. That's what I like to grab hold of. And that's what brings me joy every day. Knowing that I never will be perfect until the day I enter into glory. And that God's Word tells me that I don't have to be perfect to be forgiven. That God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God says, all right, you're sinners. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you because I'm a loving God and I love you. Please accept my son. He's the sacrifice I'm going to give you, the perfect sacrifice, the lamb without blemish. And even though the wages of sin is death,
I know this earthly body is going to die someday, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Meaning in Christ, though you die physically, death has no power over you, has no power over your soul, and the angel of death passes over you, and death has no sting, because you have the blood of Christ on you. God's word says, God made him who had no sin, meaning Christ. God made him who had no sin, the one who was spotless, the one who was perfect, the one who was righteous. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. How and when? He did it on the cross. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross that afternoon with his blood dripping on the ground, making that atonement for you and I. God took our sin and the sin of the world and dumped it on the shoulders of Christ. And there he hung with the weight of the world on his shoulders. Your sin and my sin. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. And what did he do? He nailed our sin to the cross. And it is well with my soul, the song says. He nailed our sin to the cross. He crucified our sin and made that perfect atonement, that perfect sacrifice for you and I. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is what it meant to the Jews. This is what it means to us today. The same then, the same now. It never changed. It never will. The Bible tells us that the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. That was his purpose. He came, he was pronounced the Lamb provided by God, the sacrifice of God that takes away the sin of the world. The question is his blood on the frame of your heart? That's the ultimate question. Is his blood on the frame of your heart? Have you taken him and received him as the perfect sacrifice for you and allowed his blood to be placed there? Because there will come a day when you lie down in the last moments of your life and only one thing will matter, absolutely one thing in the last second of your life, is the blood of the perfect spotless Lamb on your heart. And it'll make a difference for eternity. So as we come to the Lord's table today, I pray that the precious blood of the Lamb of God not only is on your lips, but is on your heart also, because it makes all the difference in the world, in life and death, and life eternal. We come to the Lord's table as a table of thanksgiving that God Himself, Almighty Yahweh, provided a lamb to take away the sin of the world.